So 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2. For those that joined us over the internet, we welcome you. Our numbers are down slightly here. I think that probably several people are visiting with their dads today. I hope that's the case. Or some may still be stuck in traffic trying to get home from Riverbend. I heard it was quite a mess down there last night. But at any rate, glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. If your dad is alive and you haven't talked to him today, give him a call and tell him you love him. You know, it is a wonderful day, as is Mother's Day, to remember those that we love and appreciate. I want you to start out this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to talk to you about faithfulness. The verse we're going to read here has to do with faithful men, and that will be part of the message, but also I want to talk to you about faithfulness in general, being faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the commitment of the Word of God from Timothy was to be, Paul says, to faithful men. Now it's interesting in this chapter, Paul mentions the word faithful three different times. Down in verse 11, he says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." And then down in verse 13, he says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." I think it's interesting that those three words are used in the same chapter, and they help us to really understand and identify what the word faithful means. Now, if you look it up in the dictionary, it has to do with having or showing true and constant support or loyalty. Another definition is keeping your promises or doing what you're supposed to do. That's from the Simplified Dictionary. You know, Webster's sometimes a little complicated. He'll give you a definition, and you got to go look up all those words in the definition to figure out what the definition meant. But that's a very straightforward definition of faithfulness, keeping your promises or doing what you're supposed to do. And when we see that used down there in verse 13, that he abideth faithful, he's talking about the Lord, we know that that's exactly a definition that would suffice, because God is not a man that he can lie or should lie. He keeps his promises. He does what he said he's going to do. And so when we think about faithfulness, we think about it a lot of times in relation to different things. For example, in a marriage relationship, two people are to be faithful one to another. That is, they're not to go outside the marriage relationship for gratification and so forth. They're faithful. They're dedicated to one another. Paul said there's faithful sayings. In other words, there are sayings that are trustworthy, that we can depend upon, that are constant, that are true. And then Paul says, to Timothy, "The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Now, people have all different ideas of what faithfulness is. But I think about Paul here writing to Timothy, and he says, "Commit these things to faithful men." And all we have to do is go over two chapters, and we see an illustration of some people that were not faithful. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice there in verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Now notice, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he has profited me for the ministry." And then Paul lists some others down through there. But what we see is that not all those that Paul mentioned were unfaithful, but he mentions Demas having forsaken him, having loved this present world. In other words, Demas was not faithful. He was not faithful to the Lord. He was not faithful to the Apostle Paul. And I don't know beyond that, but Demas would demonstrate a person that was not faithful. Now, people have different ideas about faithfulness and that kind of thing. People talk about being faithful to church and being faithful to their spouse. People look at different aspects of people's lives and determine whether they're faithful or not. Well, I want us to look in the Bible and see what the Bible says about faithfulness. We've just seen there where there's a contrast between Timothy being told to commit to things he heard of Paul to faithful men and some men that weren't faithful. And in the Scriptures, particularly in Paul's epistles, we see that there's a drastic difference in those that Paul writes to, particularly when you read Ephesians and Colossians. Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I appreciate the message Vince brought this morning because it really goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here. Because, you know, it's easy for us to not put our affections where they should be. And I find that in my own life particularly. Vince was talking about our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And the good thing about that relationship is that at least one side of it never changes. Now, your earthly father may disappoint you. I read some posts on Facebook from some people, and they weren't being hateful or mean, but they mentioned that they didn't grow up with a father that necessarily demonstrated his love and that kind of thing. So let me say to you that your earthly father may fail you in your eyes. He may not be to you what you think he ought to be. And, I see this in my own family. I was with both of my sisters not long ago, and they said some things about my dad that just bewildered me. And I understood that they did not see him through the same eyes that I saw him through. My older sister talked about he was a mean man. Well, I guarantee you, I got more whippings than either one of them did, and I never considered him mean. So I think a lot of time it's through the eyes that we look at things. I realize that every whipping I got, my dad did it not because he was a mean man, was because he wanted me to learn. He told me one time, he said, if I don't make you mine, he said, the law's going to. And he said, you'd a lot rather report to me than a jail cell. And so I understood why he did what he did, and I never once considered him mean. Now, when he was hitting me, I thought he was mean. But after, I remember one time when I was disciplining Tim when he was a little boy, and I asked him, I said, what do you think I ought to do? He said, well, why don't you just show grace this one time? Well, my dad, he rarely showed grace when I needed discipline. I remember the last whipping that I ever got from him, and he never used anything but a limb off of a tree or a switch, what they called a switch back then. And he didn't use a belt, didn't use a wooden spoon, but we would always go outside. And I remember I talked back to my mother, disrespected her, because I was about 14 years old, and I thought, well, I'm too old to be spanked now. And so she didn't do anything, but when we ate supper that night, he said, son, let's go out in the backyard. I want to talk to you. Well, I knew he didn't want to talk to me. He wasn't much of a talker. And he went over and he took his pocket knife out and he went over to a peach tree and he cut a limb off about this long and it's about this big around And it had all the little leaves sticking out, and he began to take those off one by one. And he said, you know, he said, you may live in our household for a long time, but he said, you'll never live in our household and not respect your mother and I. And he says, as long as you want to live here, you can, but we are the authority, and you're going to respect that authority. And I'm going to give you something that's going to help you to do that. And he striked my legs with that switch, and it was in May. Because I remember I always looked forward to the pool opening on Memorial Day weekend. And we lived on an air base, and I was on the swimming team. And so I got my swimming suit on, and my sister said to me, what are those stripes on your legs? And I looked back there, and I still had the red stripes. And I wouldn't go swimming because I was embarrassed. You see, the thing about God, our Heavenly Father, is He does demonstrate grace. And He corrects us, but He corrects us through His Word. And I said all that to say this, your Heavenly Father or your earthly father may never measure up to what you think he ought to be. But God always does. God is loving, compassionate, merciful, kind, and all he desires from us, his children, is faithfulness. It's for us to be faithful to him. And it doesn't have to do necessarily with how much money we give or how often we attend church, even those things are important. But God desires for us to be faithful. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, in all of Paul's 13 epistles, there's only two groups that he addresses as faithful. Now, he says that they're all saints. He said, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I think it's important that we recognize the reason that those both are listed there. Because every saved person is a saint. Back on St. Patrick's Day, I put a thing on Facebook about I don't understand why we made such a big deal over a saint from Ireland. That we're all saints, and ever since then, Tony Schrader, who usually sits right down here, has addressed me as Saint Steve. I guess I'm going to ever live that down. But anyway, Paul says they're saints. Every saved person is a saint. You are made to be a saint at salvation. You are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You become one with Christ and your saints. But not all saints are faithful. And that's certainly clear when we look at the book of, for example, 1 and 2 Corinthians, particularly 1 Corinthians. When Paul wrote to them, he addressed them to the church of God, to the sanctified, to the saints. But he doesn't ever say anything about them being faithful. You know why? Because they weren't. They were carnal. He said, when he wrote to him in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians 1, he said, in 1 Corinthians 3 rather, he says, you are yet carnal. And he goes into why they are carnal. Well, when he wrote to the Galatians, he simply said to the church at Galatia, well, we can certainly read the book of Galatians and see that they were not faithful. They had fallen away. He said to them, he said, you are fallen from grace. Why? Because the doctrine of grace had been preached unto them, and somebody came behind Paul and tried to tell them, unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. When he wrote to the church at Philippi, he said to the saints in Christ Jesus. But notice over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. Now, I'm not saying that there were not faithful people in all these places. But it's interesting that Paul addressed two particular groups as faithful, where he did not do so to the others. In Colossians 1 verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. So to those two groups of people, He addresses them as faithful. Now, there are several things that I want us to notice. Go back to Ephesians 1. Number one, the faithful are of the faith. In other words, you couldn't be faithful to... You can be faithful to something that is not of the faith. You remember what we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Paul said, I have kept the faith. Well, the faith, I believe, has to do with the body of doctrine delivered to the Apostle Paul. And Paul, that's why Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men. And so there are those that are faithful, but to be faithful to God as He desires us to do, you have to be of the faith. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul emphasizes that those at Ephesus were saved people. And they were saved by believing and by receiving the truth of the gospel. He said, after you heard the word, the truth of the gospel, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So if you're going to be faithful, in other words, you can be faithful to a church without being saved. You can be faithful to a program. You can be faithful to a denomination. You can be faithful to a system. But to be faithful to God Almighty, you've got to first be in the faith. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So there are those that are of the faith that aren't faithful, but all those that are of the faith should be faithful. Faithful unto God and His Word. Not to man, but faithful unto God and His Word. So we see all saints are not faithful. All faithful are saints. Now, the next thing I want you to notice, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now that verse goes to exactly what we were talking about a moment ago. You see, so many times people equate salvation with faithfulness. Here's an individual that Paul says is to be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And that shows us a glorious and wonderful truth about the grace of God. And that is that our eternal destiny is not in any way determined by our faithfulness, but rather God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God will not deny Himself. Now, are we to be faithful? Should we be faithful? Absolutely we should. But never confuse being faithful with being in the faith. There are many people who are saved, sealed unto the day of redemption in Christ, But they're not really faithful to the Lord. They're not faithful to the work of the ministry. They're not faithful. But that doesn't change their standing before the Lord. And this verse right here points that out. So your faithfulness is not going to change whether or not you go to heaven or not. It's not going to cause you, if you're unfaithful, you're not going to end up in hell. Now you may end up without reward, but faithfulness has to do with our loyalty, our attitude toward God our Father, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Now, the Corinthians, we can read through the book of Corinthians and we can see that they had numerous problems. They had problems with their liberty over in chapter 8. They had problems with their stewardship in chapter 9. And I mean, one problem after another. Whereas with the Ephesians, we see that they were faithful and there was a reason. And there are certain characteristics of faithful people that I want to mention here. Not just men, but faithful people in general. Look back in Ephesians again. In Ephesians, you see, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." He said, "You're yet carnal." Well, people that are faithful, they can handle the strong meat of the Word. In Ephesians 1, where we just read a moment ago, he says there in verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." You see, there were truths that Paul could write and share with the Ephesians that he couldn't with the Corinthians. He said, "I fed you with milk, henceforth you're not able to bear it," so forth. Well, there's the difference. To these people, he says, "I've made unto you the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, 1. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." Now, these kind of statements that are written in the book of Ephesians and Colossians really explain some of the problems that people have with the doctrine that they want to separate, you know, the Corinthians and the Thessalonians from everybody else in the body of Christ and that kind of thing. Well, you have to stop and think about it, folks. Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. And the later epistles of the Apostle Paul, they say some things that the earlier epistles do not. That doesn't make it two different bodies or that kind of thing. The truth is, there were groups of people, and Paul commended them for their faithfulness. As a matter of fact, if you compare the early churches, the church at Thessalonica, as to the church at Corinthians, you'll see there's a great difference. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, and notice what he says there in chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Well, that's a wonderful commendation Paul gives to those at Thessalonica. They had been faithful. They had preached the word. They had spread the word. He says in verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but it as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you are also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." So the Apostle Paul commended them, and he says there in verse 13, "You received the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men." They received the word of God. And he says, "As in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I love that verse, because that verse is talking about, without using the word, faithfulness. What is it to be faithful to God and faithful to the word of God? It's to allow the word of God to have an effect. That's what effectually worketh in you means. To have the word that the word of God has an effect upon our life. You see, it is entirely possible for a person to be saved and read and study the Bible and know Scripture and yet never obey it. They may be faithful to study, they may be faithful to learn the Scriptures and memorize, but what God desires of us is that the word of God that He has given unto us and preserved for us would have an effect upon our lives day by day. That it would affect our relationship one with another. That it would affect our relationship between us and Him. The word of God having an effect in our life, not just to know it mentally, but to allow the word of God to permeate our life. And that's what God's desire for us is that we might have the truth, and the truth might affect us, so that we might live according to His word and His will. That's what faithfulness is all about, folks. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I was teaching Thursday night up in the Kentucky, from Ephesians chapter 5. And the first time I ever heard this really expounded on was years ago. Brother Brian Sipes did a great job on it, and I used this verse the other night in Bible study. Look there in chapter 5 first. Paul says there in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And you can develop that, and I tried to do so at the Bible study there, and contrast, you know, over in the Old Testament. By the way, the verse there is not just a statement about wine. I mean, over in Proverbs 31:6, it says, for those that are hurting, to give them wine. But what Paul is doing here is he's contrasting the effect of wine. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And you can look at all the things that are said about wine and how wine or any kind of thing we ingest can affect us. It changes our personality, changes our attitude, that kind of thing. Well, so it should be with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit, he says. Be filled with the Spirit. And it's a good study when you go and look at those things. But look back in chapter 14. Chapter 4. If you got 14 in Ephesians, that's the wrong Bible. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You see, folks, it starts up here. It starts in our mind. You read the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You have the Word of God hid in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, the Bible says, that I might not sin against God. The Word will either change your mind, or you will continue to operate under your own thoughts, ideas, philosophies. The idea is that we would allow the Word of God to change our mind about things, about life, about who we are in Christ, about our place and position in Christ. That would it would effectually work in us, that we might be faithful unto Him and His Word. You see, He says there about these other Gentiles. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But then notice the next statement, but you've not so learned Christ. In other words, what Paul is trying to show, now remember, he called these people faithful, but he's issuing them a warning here. He said there are Gentiles there at Ephesus, they're still in darkness, they've never believed the gospel, they've never been saved. They're still walking in the vanity of their mind. And you that are saved should in no way try to emulate and be like those that are not. You ought to think differently. You ought to act differently. You ought to walk differently. You ought to respond to situations differently. Now that's not always easy to do. Vince was talking about a truck almost hitting him this week as he paused at a light. The light turned green and the fellow ran the red light. Big old Dooley truck pulling a trailer. Jerry and I were going up to Kentucky the other night. And when you pull off of Riley Parkway onto I-24, there's an entry lane and it goes for a mile or two. Well, I'm coming down that ramp and going on to I-24, and when I go on the interstate, I'm not waiting. I'm going. As more wrecks are stopped caused by people not going than going. But anyway, there's this entry lane. And so I glance back to see if I can go on across that lane and get into the fast lane. And when I look up, the car in front of me in that entry lane is stopped dead. And so I hit my brakes and go off to the side. And I did not say, God bless you. I thought some things, and if Jerry hadn't been in the car, I'd have probably said them. But I just looked at the guy and went like that. You know, the flesh is the flesh. And that's just a very carnal illustration. But there are far more serious things in our life where we need to learn to react to those things as children of light rather than reacting like people that are still in darkness. The Word of God needs to have an effect on our life. That's being faithful to the Word of God and faithful to God. And so Paul says, you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You see, folks, everything that we do, both positive and negative, both beneficial and unbeneficial, It always starts with a thought. And so many times, our temper, our temperament, and so forth, cause us to respond in a way that would not be pleasing to the Lord. So Paul writes to these Corinthians, and he says there in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with you, that with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now notice what he says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Man, that's a tall order, isn't it? Think about that. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many times have you said something, and within 5 minutes, or maybe 5 seconds, you wish you hadn't have? Or you did something, and you wish you didn't. Or you hit the sin button, and you think, oh heck. You see, folks, the thing is that we war in our carnal mind with being faithful to the Word of God and God's Word because of our flesh. And it is always a warfare. But God's desire for us as His children is that we would be faithful and be led of the Spirit. We spent 4 weeks talking about the Spirit of God and all that kind of stuff. And you see, so many people equate being led by the Spirit, making them feel a certain way. No, to be led by the Spirit is to be led by the Word of God. Let this mind be in you. Paul said, ye have the mind of Christ. But he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what faithfulness is all about. It's not just the outward things that we do. It has to do with the faithfulness of our heart to the Lord and His Word, to believe His Word to the extent that we allow it to have a controlling presence over our thoughts and our actions. And when we think things that are contrary to the Word of God, that we would stop and we would pause and we would realize that's not what God would have us do. Anger, resentment, hatred, all of those things, Paul says, are works of the flesh. And as a saved person, we should respond in a manner that would be pleasing to the Lord, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, the Word which effectually worketh in you. Does the Word of God have an effect in your life on a regular basis? Or are there times you just say, I am not going to obey it. I'm going to be this way, and so be it. Well, so be it. You know what's going to happen? You're going to do exactly like I do. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what faithfulness is. It's not just being in a church attendance. It's not just giving your money. It's not just being faithful to an organization. It is faithfulness to God and His Word, and responding in a manner that would be pleasing unto Him, and doing it for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?